Dear beloved of God, peace be to you and grace from our Lord Jesus Christ, who frees us from our sin. Amen. Well, in my 15 years as a pastor, I have had to climb into a pulpit after someone murdered children and adults in schools and churches more times than I care to count. But it's always happened somewhere else, in someone else's city. But this time it was here, just down the street. It happened to our families, our neighbors, to our kids. And I don't know what to say. When it's somewhere else, it's easy to imagine how awful parents, loved ones, teachers, police, first responders must be feeling. But now that it's here, you don't have to imagine. You know. You've experienced the horror firsthand. Your friends, your neighbors, your family, all have been deeply wounded by this unspeakable act of violence. And there aren't words. It shouldn't keep happening. But it does. Today, we wrap up our summer-long reading of the book of Acts. We've been calling our sermon series Against All Odds, and we've been tracing how the early church grew from a small, ragtag bunch of the earliest followers of Jesus into a movement of thousands upon thousands of believers. And if somehow you were able to stay focused during this morning's reading, and I don't blame you if you couldn't, you might have noticed that this kind of feels like an anticlimactic ending to the story. Paul's just sitting at home. Preaching. If you'll remember from last week's story, this was the place that Paul desperately wanted to get to. He had been telling folks about Jesus all throughout the known world, in big and small cities all around the Mediterranean Sea. But Rome was the heart of the empire. And as a citizen, Paul wanted folks there to know about Jesus. And now Paul, standing in the heart of the empire, finds himself speaking to people who cannot or will not hear. And so he reaches back to the prophet Isaiah, to a prophet who knew something of what it was like to speak into silence, into resistance, into heartbreak. And Paul tells those who are listening, the Holy Spirit was right in saying to your ancestors through the prophet Isaiah, go to this people and say, you will indeed listen, but never understand. You will indeed look, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes. Otherwise, they might look with their eyes and listen with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I, the Lord, would heal them. It's a hard message. It's a message of futility, intractability, maybe even despair. It's as if no matter what the prophet, no matter what Paul says, folks just aren't going to hear or see or believe. Because this people's heart has grown dull. There was a photo that was making the rounds on news sites and social media following the events of Wednesday. It was a picture of a bouquet of flowers. And there was an attached card that read, "We get it," with love from Uvalde. How else can we explain a world in which survivors of one elementary school shooting are sending flowers to the newest set of victims and survivors of another school shooting with words, "We get it. We know how you feel. We've experienced this horror too." How else can we explain that this is our reality other than by saying this people's hearts have grown dull? How else can this keep happening unless we don't truly see the pain that this has caused? Why don't we hear the cries of those who have suffered? Why don't our hearts move us to change, to be different? Why does this keep happening again and again? I wish that I could say with conviction that this time it'll be different. That it'll be different because it happened here to us, to our community. And maybe it will be. But I don't place my hope in our own ability to soften our hearts, to really see what is happening, or to finally listen. I place my hope in God, who time and again creates something out of nothing, light where we only see darkness, and hope in the midst of deepest despair. The Apostle Paul was a really fine communicator. But in his last sermon to the folks in Rome, I feel like he kind of left off the punchline. He missed the closing argument from the prophet Isaiah. See, the Lord had told Isaiah that after the people refused to listen, after they're unwilling to hear the Lord's voice, after they destroy themselves and all that they hold dear, they will be like this giant tree, like an oak that has been felled. And all that is left is a stump. But the Lord told them, there is a holy seed in that stump. A holy seed that will bring forth life in the midst of death. A holy seed that will create the possibility for newness and beauty in a future where there seem to be none. A holy seed that will signal to all that witness its growth that death and destruction and evil and complacency do not have the last word. God does. Life does. love does. So what do we do now? We grieve. We lament. We hold one another close. We name the pain that we see and we refuse to look away. We wait. We look for the holy seed to grow. We listen for the Spirit's movements. We wait for the God who has never abandoned us, even in the darkest valley, to create life again. Because even now, even here, even in this place of heartbreak and horror, God is not done. The story isn't over. The stump is real, the devastation is real, but so is that holy seed. So is the promise. So is the God who, against all odds, brings resurrection from crucifixion, who brings Pentecost from fear, who brings healing even from the deepest wounds. So we pray. We act. We love and we hope, not because we are strong, but because God is. Not because we see clearly, but because our God does. Not because we understand, but because God is still speaking. May the Spirit give us power to be a people who listen, a people who see. May we be a people whose hearts are softened by the Spirit of the living God. And may the Holy Seed grow in us and through us until love has the last word. Amen.